Eva Lee pioneered modern tea cultivation in Hawaii, establishing with her husband a tea garden and nursery in the town of Volcano. The farm supplied growers with hardy cultivars first introduced in 2000 by researchers at the College of Tropical Agriculture and Human Resources. Hawaiian tea is grown on farms producing less than 100 kilos a year. Small amounts of premium tea are exported, but most is purchased by local restaurants and tourists. In this conversation, Lee describes how the modest but very strong tea industry adapted during a difficult year. Eva, will you update listeners on this year's tea harvest so far?
Our spring season began quite late. And the reason for that is Hawaii has been inundated with a very, very extensive rainy season. We're coming off of about 7+ months of pretty much straight rain, deep, deep saturation. The plants have really responded as we have just broken with the rains and now have sun and spring is now revealing itself. So the tea plants themselves, I think throughout the state, are expressing themselves considerably more this time of year than they have in the past. Usually we would have begun in February, March, for our first flush spring harvests. We have quite a bit of production of harvests that are going on.
What makes Hawaii-grown tea so special?
You know, some of the teas are in the native forests that we've got going on, shade-grown, up at 4,000-foot elevations. And we also have teas that are down in full sun, 900-foot elevation, also on the east side of the island. Our particular garden on the summit of Kilauea Volcano at 4,000-foot elevation is on what we call the windward side of the volcano. We have a fellow grower that is on the leeward side, same elevation. The conditions are quite different. They're on the leeward side. It's much drier, much more sun. They themselves also had a late beginning of spring harvest. But the microclimates, the conditions that can be just moments away, are quite considerable. One of the reasons why the tea is so special is that this generation of tea growers, our first generation tea growers, because we haven't had a history of tea agriculture in the state, everyone that's growing tea are doing a lot of experimentations. They are growing it out of the love of the leaf. Those of us that have established ourselves in the areas that are most conducive, we have mulch and forest canopies that are some that are over 100 years old. We don't have some of the same diseases and the same problems or challenges that other tea producing countries have. Because we are isolated in the middle of the Pacific, we also don't have continents that are close by to us, so we don't have fallout on pollutants coming into our area. And so every season has kind of excitement that happens because it's new. Every season, it's quite different. It's very, very exciting. And now we're at that place where we can provide the public with a variety of teas.
Will you describe the economics of the tea industry in 2021 and how Hawaiian growers adapted to the sharp decline in tourism and the restaurant business?
We had to act quite quickly on decisions as to production. We had to slow gardens down because we were faced with inventory that was not moving because of restaurant closures. We also, here in Hawaii, rely a lot on agritourism. Many of the restaurants here in Hawaii closed down due to the pandemic. Labor costs in Hawaii have always been much more than in other tea producing countries. So the changes or the decisions that we had to make definitely hurt some labor because we were not able to have as many people work at the gardens. We changed some of the techniques in processing and how much time that we would put into or not some of our crafted teas. So the percentages change from premium grades to secondary grades. Maybe they're not as good. But in actuality, we were kind of nicely surprised that we were able to produce some very wonderful secondary, third grade, however one wants to interpret these teas that could be very accessible for the public and were quite tasty. Instead of direct to restaurants, it would go direct to consumers, for instance, in food hubs. So we used to do a lot of distribution of our teas direct to consumers in farmers markets. Of course, many of the farmers markets were closed down during that time. We've been doing farmers markets probably for over 12 years, and it was a big change. So we ended up producing, processing, manufacturing teas that we call tea to go for people that were here locally to take our teas and be able to steep them up very easily. And so we were moving from bulk loose leaf to individually filter packing our teas and doing it all here in Hawaii. So we've then turned into not only growers, producers, but also co-packers. And so our co-packing activities are also on location. We do have a modest but very strong tea industry here in our state. And now some of the people that ended up experiencing the teas that were more accessible. Well, for premium teas, as far as by the kilo, we're talking by the kilo, 2.5 pounds, that's about $400. We are wholesaling them by so many units. But to break it down to you, is that they are wholesaled for $7 for that package of 1 ounce, 10 filter package teas. So to the consumer, usually $8.25, I believe, is what the markup of some of the stores and food hubs are doing. So also to have discussions even on some of our premium teas to local retailers. So if I sell this to you for $10, you know, instead of you selling it for $20, think about $18. And that's kind of a formula that seems to work pretty well with some of the retailers. And we also cut down on some of our costs of packaging itself. We made our own packaging. And so that has helped for this period of time. It may continue. You know, we share a little information on the inside of the package and whatnot so people can learn a little bit more. And then I think it gives people the confidence to maybe try the premiums.